Here's one of my good friends, and I always like to brag on him, but all I could think of his last couple songs was he was a trumpet virtuoso in college, and one of the ways he put himself through college was playing trumpet at Disneyland as one of the toy soldiers. And so with kind of the festive things and candy canes and all that, all I could think of was Justin as a toy soldier. Hey, since it's a big occasion this year, huge occasion, the 19th anniversary of Home Alone, I thought that I would kind of show you an extended clip of the only meaningful sequence, I think, in that movie. So here you go.
My granddaughter up there, the little red-haired girl. She's about your age. You know her?
No.
You live next to me, don't you?
Yeah.
You can say hello when you see me. You don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of things going around about me, but none of it's true. Okay? Been a good boy this year?
I think so.
You swear to it?
No.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Well, this is the place to be if you're feeling bad about yourself.
It is?
I think so.
Are you feeling bad about yourself?
No.
I'm in kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family. Even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love them. But you can forget that you love them. And you can hurt them and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
Came to hear my granddaughter sing, and I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
Well, he's grown up. We lost our tempers. And I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Yeah, basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it, and you won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad, especially around the holidays.
All right. Maybe I should have waited till the 20th anniversary. Hey, I love that clip because it points something out that's kind of interesting. And it's basically this, that at Christmas time, it tends to be a fighting season. And I think we kind of know that, even though it's counterintuitive and we think it's going to be really festive, there's a lot of fighting that kind of goes on. And it starts like in the Christian world, I think we see it too. Like I've been terrified all Christmas not to let anybody come into my house and see a Santa because I'm a pastor. And if they saw Santa, they'd freak out at me. And Christians can be really caustic that way. And if I write Xmas, I'm always looking over my shoulder because someone is going to accuse me of taking Christ out of Christmas, even though X is for a thousand years been kind of a symbol of Christ because it's the Greek letter chi, which is taking the CH and making an X out of it. So, you know, we kind of realize that it's kind of a scary time of year in the Christian church, even though it shouldn't be. Do you know that the phrase in Christ occurs 164 times in the New Testament? In Paul's writings alone, the most recurring phrase of any recurring phrases, because the whole idea is the Christian church is a family and we're together in Christ, so there should be kind of this unity there. And I think when we think of family, we also think we're supposed to be together, and so there's supposed to be some kind of togetherness that comes when we're with family, but it's not always the case. Just like in the Christian realm, we're not always together in families, we're not always together either. And so I thought it'd be a good time just to talk about the whole idea of forgiveness. And this really was born out of someone that said to my wife recently that they had had a Jerry Springer Christmas last year. And I started thinking about that. I was like, man, how many Jerry Springer Christmases must there be? And it just shouldn't be like that. So here's a couple verses I want to throw up on the screen and just kind of get what the Bible talks about that should help us in kind of overlooking the things that we all do that kind of cause these arguments. Proverbs 19:11 says this, a man's wisdom gives him or her patience, and it's to his or her glory to overlook an offense, just to not bother with it and just to get on. Matthew 5:23-24 says this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, and first, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So the idea is, if you're going to go talk to God, and you're going on your way to God, and you remember that somebody has an issue with you, what God is basically saying is, I don't want to hear from you until you've talked to them. I don't want to hear from you until you've talked to them. You drop your sacrifice and go resolve the situation if somebody's got something against you. Jesus said, love your enemies. If we are supposed to love our enemies, how much more should we love family? And I like what Oscar Wilde said. He said, love your enemies because nothing in the world annoys them more. Okay, so if you just want to get under someone's skin because you don't like them this Christmas, you can just love on them and bless them. In Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Like, what's the ceiling? What's the max quotient here? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, not seven times, but 77 times. The whole idea here is we could go and walk all the way through the scriptures and basically show that God really cares about people being together. And when God is in the midst, when we're celebrating Christ especially, there's no room for division or for againstness or for hatred. And so we have to learn to kind of smooth over those things between us and other people or within our families. And forgiveness is a huge issue that way, and it comes down to grace. Now, my wife picked up a saying a long time ago through a pastor's wife at a church she grew up in. And the saying was this. It was that if all were known, all would be forgiven. If all were known, all would be forgiven. Now, what it doesn't mean is simply this, that if all were known, if you knew what was going on in someone's mind, or if you knew what kind of happened with them, or what mommy and daddy did to them when they were young, or traumatic experience, that if you knew that, then they would be right. It doesn't say that. It said, if all were known, all would be forgiven. If you knew that, then they would be good instead of bad. No, it doesn't say that either. What it says is that if you really understood where people were coming from and their own hurts and their own paradigms and their own just junk, that you would understand a little bit better why they do some of the things that they do. And when you understand a little bit better why they do some of the things they do, even if it's not good or not right, it's a little bit easier to extend grace to them and say, you know what? We all just need a pass now and then, and it's okay. I can forgive that. If all were known, all would be forgiven. And Jesus tells a parable kind of this effect. He talks about a guy that owed money to the king, and he comes to the king and just doesn't have what he owes the king. And the king kind of goes through deliberations and finally decides to have grace on this person to forgive the debt of this person that owed vast sums that they could never repay. So this guy that has his debts forgiven, right? It's all made good. Walks out and does something really strange. Walks out of that kind of courtroom atmosphere, goes and finds the guy that owes him $2, grabs him by the scruff of the neck, holds him up, says, I want my $2. Which doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? I mean, the guy just got an unexpected bonus of $1 million when his debt was canceled, and he goes out and he's going to wring someone's neck for $2, and the king hears about it. And the king calls for him and brings him in, and the king says, help me out here. I don't understand, but I mean, maybe it just seemed logical to me that the grace I showed you, that the forgiveness I showed you, what I kind of did with you might just trickle down a little bit to some other people. That if that's the way we're going to treat people, then maybe I should have gotten my $1 million out of you. I don't understand how what I did didn't get passed on to somebody else. And Jesus' whole point in this parable was to say, you know what, we're forgiven and we're set free and we're kind of reconciled to God. Like he just accepts us no matter what we owe him, no matter what we've done, no matter anything. And it's such a vast thing when he accepts us into family and says, I'll forgive that. That when we walk out and we're going to get mad at somebody because of something petty, because we got annoyed at Christmas time, because we didn't like that our sister or brother was arguing about where we were going to go eat or what Christmas movie we were going to go to, or they did something annoying, or they invited over a guest you didn't want invited over, or they actually brought up politics, or they, whatever it's going to be, that we just, right then and there, that's it. And we flare up. You know, I can go this far but no further, and then we're going to pick the fight because that $2 is a big deal. And I think what God is saying is, man, what would Macaulay Culkin do? And I've shown you this grace, and can't you certainly walk out and extend grace to others, to Christian brothers and sisters, to actual brothers and sisters that are in family, or even step cousins in law through a third marriage, upside down, whatever. Doesn't matter how far removed it is. Can't you just extend a little grace? And I think that if God were to show up tonight in your Christmas Eve kind of room, maybe the first words out of his mouth to you would be, say you're sorry. Go say you're sorry to that person. Or send that email. Or write yourself a note to remember to say you're sorry. And get that little thing just out of the way, and then let's celebrate. And maybe those would be the first words out of Jesus' mouth or out of God's mouth if he was there with you tonight. And I think that what we get into this habit of doing is analyzing other people's actions and saying to ourselves, I would never under any circumstances do that or believe that. Therefore, that person is wrong, they're bad, I have to. I'm duty-bound to call them on it. I mean, it's, you know, my lot is, the lot has fallen to me to be the one to argue this case with this person because it is so ridiculous that they would believe this or do that thing. And what we do is, because we come from a paradigm, we make that person out to be radically, like, bad or evil. And what we miss in this is the whole grace thing that we're all, every single one of us, a mixture of good and bad. I mean, there's no, I haven't run into too many Hitlers in Bend, Oregon. I haven't run into too many people that are just all bad, and we're all a mixture of good and bad. And when we realize that, we can learn to say, you know what, I'm going to choose to focus on your good, and I'm going to give you grace in those areas that are sticking points for you. And I'm going to put my guns down. I've got my gun drawn, and we're going to get into this duel, and I can put my gun down, because when we start looking at people's weak spots, you know, of course we neglect our own, but when we think we're good and they're bad, and we start having to point out anything that's off, it's my duty to point out anything that's off, where does it stop? When does it stop? It's like the French Revolution with the guillotine. I mean, once you go down that road of having to call every single thing out, it just kind of begins to go, and it flows from there, and we just have to learn to forgive and learn to extend grace to people and to put our guns down. If all were known, all would be forgiven. And I think the essence here is simply this, that God really is saying that you all and we all, that we can glorify him better together than we can apart. Your family can glorify God tonight and tomorrow more together with a spirit of harmony and unity and forgiveness and grace than it can apart. And we have to take that with us and realize that even though it feels difficult to forgive somebody that you've got long-standing issues with, what we have to do in forgiveness is so small compared to the forgiveness we've received. So this Christmas, as we think of grace, that God bypassed the powers of this world. You've got a king, Herod, and you've got everything else going on. And God of the universe says, I reign supreme. I'm going to accomplish what I'm going to do. I'm going to bypass it all and establish my kingdom of forgiveness and grace on this earth. And he went to all those lengths. We can see that, and then we can move forward and extend grace to other people too. And if all were known, all would be forgiven. So let's just close with a word of prayer, and maybe just tonight as we walk out of here and we see the white snow and we begin thinking about all the wonderful traditions and the memories of childhood and everything else that goes with it, we can just build up a little buffer and say, you know what, this Christmas I'm not going to react even though I've done it 10 years in a row or 15 years in a row. I'm just going to settle it down and I'm going to make peace. So let's pray. Father, we do just pray that we'd be able to glorify you, that our lives would be lives of worship, that we would find unity and forgiveness and grace and come together with our families, with others, and through love and through forgiveness, it would just bring a smile to you and it would be pleasing to you. And so I just pray for all of us here as we move out that with everything that's happening, so many people being packed into houses and all the things that are going on and presents and kids and that you would just give us patience. And we pray for that now, and we pray just that we would glorify you in this time. In Christ's name, amen.